that what we are going to present today is we have consolidated all the water boards so that you have a nice bird's eye view on what happened at the water board. And we've provided some additional information on the slide for you then to use when you then do have the briefings with the individual water boards. Okay. So does everyone have slides now? If we can move to the water board. Okay. Obviously the first page and then the second page is just our reputation promise, as you all know, enabling oversight by providing you with all this information on the water board. Slide 3 talks about the medium term strategic framework and annual performance report. So they will obviously just link it to the number 6 between water and sanitation. If you move to slide 4 and slide 5, we just talk about the ATS XPs for the current year, which is obviously accountability, where we look at the plan, the do, the check and the act. We want management to take accountability. If I'm going too fast, you must tell me, but I want to get to the detail. If you move to slide 6, that slide was part of the AG's general report when he did the PFMA roadshow, where he just talks about that leadership is a key driver of good internal control, and that is, so leadership is there to ensure that there's a that the auditees deliver on their priorities effectively, efficiently, and economically. So there needs to be good internal controls. Okay. If you look at the slide, then the slide 7, what we've included there for you is a nice picture, and unfortunately I can't present it because the circles will come in afterwards. If you look at the orange circle, that circle is basically demonstrating the Section 29 of the Water Service Act. So what we're trying to demonstrate there is, in a normal circumstance, the Water Board is responsible for those sections, your water treatment and your bulk water pipelines. But due to Section 30, where they are actually, their primary activities can move towards or in a bigger space, that's then the blue circle, where they also then sometimes have activities where the Water Board is acting upon. So that is just a high-level overview slide. Okay, slide 8, slide 9. Obviously, as you know, the Auditor General is looking at three areas that we audit and that we examine, which I'm going to present on, which is then the financial statements to ensure that it fairly presents. We look then at the compliance of the performance information to determine the objectives. And as indicated, remember always the entities say if they've achieved or not achieved. What the AG does is just to make sure that what they are reporting on is reliable, accurate, and complete. And then the third is then obviously looking at the compliance with the relevant laws and regulations. If you move to slide 10, there we just explain again on high level what is the different audit opinions that we provide to our clients. So green is obviously the raw unqualified, which with no findings. So then there's no findings on predetermined objectives, there's no findings on compliance. Financially unqualified, the yellow, the financial statement is unqualified, but they might have either predetermined objectives or compliance findings. When we move into the purple, they obviously then they have a qualified opinion with findings and your adverse and disclaimers. When we provide an adverse opinion, then we're saying that what we've received, we can't really say that the financial statement is reliable. And when we have a disclaimer, we didn't receive any information on certain aspects, and therefore we say we cannot provide an opinion. So if we then move to slide 11, there you will have then your high-level overview on all the water boards. The first section on the left is looking at the financial statement. If I can ask you just to turn the page to slide 12. There you will see the movement of the financial statements from the prior year. So you will see that Bloom Water, they stayed unqualified with no findings. However, Umgeni and Mlatuzi, which is in green, was last year unqualified with no findings, and Umgeni now moved into the unqualified position, but with findings, where Mlatuzi has now been moved down to a qualification. Then Magalies, Amatola and Randwater stay where they are, so they are still unqualified with findings. Seribeng and Lepele, who were last year unqualified with findings, have now moved into a qualification area. And then Overberg at the bottom is on the blue line. They're still outstanding. We haven't audited 16-17 yet, and last year they were disclaimed. So turning back to slide 11 then, that is then the first side on the left-hand side, which is then your qualifications. I'll also go into some detail later on the specific qualifications on slide 13. Compliance with key legislation, as you can see, the green blocks is decreasing, so there is a regression in the overall on all the water boards. Bloom and Umgeni didn't have any compliance findings on the audit report. However, all the others had findings. Mostly on not preventing irregular fruitless and wasteful expenditure, not procuring through competitive bidding processes, submitting financial statements late or with misstatements, no safeguarding of assets, and the collection of all revenue, not collecting all the revenue due to the water board. Then on the right-hand side, you have then your performance information. The first section is talking about the annual performance plans. So is those useful? Magalies, Umgeni, and Bloom are in the green, meaning there wasn't any findings on usefulness. However, the others, except for Overberg, that's outstanding, had some findings on usefulness. And then on the reliability, so that is where we then look at the reporting on the performance information to see if it's valid, accurate, and complete. There, Magalies, Umgeni, Bloom, and Amatola didn't have any findings, but Seribeng, Lepele, Randwater, and Mlatuzi did. So this is on high level. Then we can move down to slide 13. Slide 13 is then looking at your water boards that had qualifications. So this slide is just giving you a picture that the four water boards, and we've included Overberg just to indicate what was their qualifications last year, but at this stage they are still outstanding. So with Seribeng, the qualification areas was that they didn't have a system to identify irregular expenditure, and there wasn't any evidence provided for your trade and other receivables and trade payables on the restatement of figures. So there was a disclaimer on that one. And then also there wasn't any review of the useful lives of DPE at Seribeng. With Lepele, the entity did not componentize. They did not review the useful lives and depreciate some assets and other assess assets for impairment. So there are big issues on DPE. And then Mlatuzi is the entity capitalized Scott, which did not qualify for capitalization, and they did not adequately review the useful lives of PPE. The main root cause, if we look at the reasons for the root cause, is there is inadequate review by line managers on your normal daily and monthly controls, and then obviously as well as your quality assurance reviews when it then comes to the actual preparing of the financial statements. With Seribeng, they also had the inadequate system on implementing and identifying irregular expenditure. And then for Lepele, there's inadequate internal controls over the asset register in accordance with the applicable accounting framework. And from Latuzi's side, there's also inadequate comprehension of specific accounting standards governing assets. So that is the three water boards that was then qualified for this year. If we move then to slide 15 and 16, but we can start with slide 15, just want to get to my notes. What we've done also this year is because, remember, it is the first time that all the water boards are being audited by the Auditor General. So what we've also tried to do is look at indicators or objectives and see is it cutting through all the water boards. So we have identified 7 objectives, and then we looked at if they are being reported on at all the water boards and what was the impact. So if you look at slide 15, what we've done there is we've said, for example, on bulk portable water quality compliance, 5 of the water boards did achieve that objective and 3 partially achieved. The ones that partially achieved on that one was Lepele, Ungeni, and Seribeng. Then we also looked at managing avoidable water losses, where 6 achieved, and 2, Amatola and Lepele, did not achieve on that one. The reliability of supply, that is to ensure that there are no unplanned interruptions to bulk supply exceeding 24 hours. All of them achieved except Ungeni, who did not achieve. The increased access to services, that indicator objective is mainly on the expansion of services, and what one of the indicators under that one is looking at the spending of the capital expenditure. With that one, we have Randwater, who is on the blue column, which is not reported on. Because they have to yet allocate their capital expenditure to expansion projects. And this is also one of the objectives where the water boards performed the worst. So the 4 water boards that did not achieve on this one was Machales, Ungeni, Lepele, and Umlatuzi. If you turn to the next slide, then we have the 3 others, which is your bulk supply agreement concluded with municipalities. Lepele is not reported on because there wasn't any agreements done. The one that was not achieved was Bloom, and then the partially achieved was Machales. Implementation of ministerial directives, also again one of the objectives where the water boards did perform on the worst. The 3 that's not reported on was Lepele, Ungeni, and Randwater because there were no new directives for the year under review, and then all the others is then not achieved at this stage. Support rural development. That one is usually where the objective is looking at signed contracts with municipalities. So Lepele is the one that was not reported on, and then the 3 water boards that did not achieve was then Umlatuzi, Machales, and Bloom. So that is just looking at the indicators that's cutting through all the water boards. If we move to slide 18 on compliance, on high level, we looked at the three highest compliance findings that was at all the water boards. At 5 of them, Lepele, Seribeng, Machales, Umlatuzi, and Amatola, they had material misstatements that they had to correct. From that 5, Machales and Amatola avoided qualification areas. So they corrected the financial statements and did not receive a qualification. But the other 3 still had their qualification areas. And then obviously Oeverberg is not part of this. The other one is the management of procurement and contracts, where the compliance finding was raised at the Pele, Seribeng, Machales, and Umlatuzi. And then the... do you have the revenue one? Revenue management? That printed the wrong one. Then there's also, apologies for that, the expenditure management, where there is 6 water boards that had expenditure management compliance finding as well, which was Amatola, Lepele, Seribeng, Machales, Umlatuzi, and Ungeni. So the right-hand side is just showing you that there were 5 water boards that would have been qualified, and Machales and Amatola avoided it. So 3 were qualified. Okay. If we move to the next slide, we strive to consolidate the irregular and fruitless and wasteful expenditure on all the water boards. So on fruitless and wasteful, there's about 8.4 million. And the nature of those fruitless and wasteful is due to interest and penalties paid to SARS due to late payments, which was for Lapele 347,000, and Randwater 1.9 million. No show to conferences, hence accommodation and conference expenditure incurred declared at fruitless was at Umlaut Tuzi for 232,000, and then the settlement of the Ungeni salary was 5.2 million. And there were no qualification paragraphs on any of the water boards on completeness of fruitless and wasteful expenditure. If you look at the irregular expenditure, which is just where there's a contravention in legislation, we said it's about 298 million. Now, what I just need to highlight here is, remember, this irregular is the irregular for the water boards. If some of the water boards were implementing agents for the department, that irregular will not show here. That irregular is then included in the financials of the water, of the department, of the main account. So this is irregular specific to the water board. With Steady Bing, there were instances where contracts were not advertised on CIDB. They obtained quotations instead of following a tender process for 66 million. They paid 20 million to a supplier before actually conducting that competitive bidding and appointing that supplier. Amatola, 79 million. The competitive billing was also not followed, and they didn't advertise for the minimum required time. And I think just on Amatola, why we said they're 189 million in red is because that's what's on the financials. So it seems none of the irregular is condoned at Amatola, so it's just accumulating. With Lapele, there's 9 million, extension of expired contracts, there was non-compliance with the panel selection, and deviations was not in line with National Treasury. Then awarding construction contracts with CIBB grading was less than the value. At Umlaut Tuzi, there was a 12 million, and at Mahali, the 24 million. And then also non-compliance where the bid was not evaluated for functionality, which was at Mahali for 17 million. And we would like to highlight that irregular expenditure was qualified for City Bing and Umlaut Tuzi on completeness. Right. Slide 20 is just again from the general report from the Auditor General, where we say that again, back to accountability and then obviously consequence management. So that an environment that is weak on consequence management is prone to corruption and fraud. And we need to strengthen the consequence management. If you turn the page then to the slide to 21, again, this recommendation is that you need to strengthen your supply chain control environment by appointing suitable, skilled and qualified heads of supply chain. Focus on preventing irregular expenditure and non-compliance, and then implement supply chain compliance checklists to supplement policies and procedures. I'm going to move forward. Then the next information is more, like I said, additional information for you to use. So slide 23 looks at the financial health status of the water board and then comparing it to what was achieved on their performance objectives. So what we did with the financial health, we look at it, there's normally like 9 indicators that we evaluate. The ones that were yellow, which is Amatola, Bloom, Lapele, and Seri Bing, is mostly due to creditors' payment periods that's very long and also the debtors' collections. That's mainly the two on the indicators there. And then So then what we've said there on key observations is then water boards generate their own revenue by delivering services to municipalities and other water users and fund their activities from this own generated revenue. But in addition, they do get ministerial directives. which the department is supposed to in advance fund then those directives. We've also said that the Mpumalanga municipality entered a debt payment arrangement with Lepele, the second last bullet, due to the financial health concerns which impacted on the water board's ability to maintain infrastructure as required. Furthermore, performance indicators and targets of Lepele were not adequately developed in terms of the requirements of the SMPPI and did not consider the processes and resources to ensure that indicators and targets are measurable and achievable. And then there were also community processes that delayed the achievement of the objectives at Magalies. And although the funding was not really impacted, the targets of that objective could not be achieved. If we move then to slide 24, okay. When we look at the governance of the water boards, we say that all the water boards were appointed and are functional, except for Mlatuzi and Overberg. The term of the board of Mlatuzi expired, and the new board has not been appointed. The interim chief executive was appointed, who is fulfilling the role then of the accounting authority while there is still no board. Then we've also just highlighted for you on some of the vacancies that was at the water boards for Amatola, Lapele, Magalies, Umlatuzi and Overberg. And then what we did, which is also included in our management letters that is discussed with management, is we also assess the level of assurance provided by the different levels. Because we are also an assurance provider, providing you with the audit report, like for example, to the portfolio committee. So what we said there is if you look at the water board's assurance providers on the different levels, you have your senior management, you have your accounting authority, executive authority, and then the audit committee and internal audit. The executive authority, we might provide limited assurance on the executive authority. That is mainly due to the appointment of the board. If you look at SEDIBeng, senior management provided limited assurance because there was reliance placed on consultants in terms of the financial statements. The PDO, they were poor quality and they had significant non-compliance at SEDIBeng. And because of all of this, there was inadequate oversight from the accounting authority, which resulted then in our assessment that limited assurance was provided. In terms of Lepele on senior manager, there was just that lack of review on the daily and monthly processing in preparing the financial statement. And then on the positive side, if you look at Bloem and Umgeni, there's obviously a lot of providing assurance on those levels. Okay. Then slide 26 is just the key actions that we can recommend to leadership and management is that key positions should be filled with a reasonable time to ensure stability in leadership. There should be a quality review that needs to be implemented specifically to the financial statements and the performance reports to make sure it's accurate, valid, and complete. And management should provide monitoring and corrective actions to address audit findings. Management should design, obviously, adequate procedures if we go and we talk about the supply chain environment to make sure that the procurement process is fair, transparent, and cost-effective. Management should ensure that appropriate systems are designed for your indicators, the recording and reporting thereof. Then consequence management, leadership should hold staff accountable for poor performance, and the risk management function should be capacitated, and an adequate IT governance framework should be designed and implemented. Slide 27 is just also to say that if we look at the oversight role of the portfolio committee, I'm just going to highlight the green ones. That's what we're saying we are currently seeing a lot, is that there's an invite to the office of the AGSA and other governance structures for briefings to provide you with the insights that you needed, and that you continue to do regular and deliberate site visits on key projects to determine what is on the ground. With the red ones, we just say that highlighted to say, do not tolerate hearings or briefings from your auditees or the department to come to Parliament unprepared. Consequence management must be strongly enforced and accountability must be promoted. If we then look at slide 28, that is then the concluding comments and recommendations, which was again from the roadshow that the AG himself did, which says that accountability and good governance are central to building an efficient, effective and developmental orientated public service. And improvements can be attributed to the political leadership taking accountability and discharging oversight responsibility through robust discussions and interrogating reports submitted by the administrative leadership. Then, just quickly, the next slide, if you look at slide 30, this is now where we are moving towards. We have already implemented this new methodology to the department. This will now be implemented also going forward at the Water Board. And it's the status of record review, where we just have robust discussions from an early point in the audit to ensure that the findings and the issues are timely addressed. And I think that is in a nutshell. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you for obviously this sharp talk to some of our practical experiences that we go through. Whether this is in the water boards or this is in the department, some of the major, some of the key statements made. I guess perhaps maybe as we make a statement like the one that you are making, trying to check about consequence management, leadership should hold staff accountable for poor performance and transgressions. you are doing a review on your legislation.
Yes.
To give effect, if you like, to give yourself teeth.
Yes, we are.
You want to just talk a bit about that?
The Public Audit Act Amendment. It's in the sense of if we see...
Without getting into any detail.
Yeah, it's just that if we see that departments or entity is keep on having these regressions and keep on having issues, then the AG himself have the teeth then to keep those people accountable. Yeah. But there's obviously going to be a very long process. There's going to be investigations. It's not just that if they qualify, then it happens. There is still investigations and panels and processes that will need to happen. But at the end of the day, the short of it is the AG can write a letter to say you need to pay back funds of this amount. That is basically what the changes will be.
Okay, thanks. It might just work for us as well as people who are doing oversight over department and entities, that we get we keep in the loop of those developments. You don't know the timing more or less of the expected finalization of that amendment.
The finalization of the PIA amendment?
More or less.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson of the Members. I'm pointing this side, please.
I'll show you the chair.
Oh, the chair?
Yeah.
But I'll just respond to what's standing on the before I take this.
What is going in Germany?
The amendment bill was currently open for comment. All the comments have been received through SCOWEC. The closing date was 26 February, if I'm not mistaken. So the engagement process now of consolidating all the comments and having the hearings. The hearings are scheduled for, I think it's the 9th of March, sometime next week. And then obviously the normal process will engage after that. I don't have a definitive deadline, but I know that at least how far we are in terms of the process.
Thanks for that. Anyone who has anything to say, comments, questions? Straightforward one. Mr. Makondo, noted Mr. Chauke and Mr. Ngun.
No, normally, AG will rate stakeholders. It will be the executive authority, the portfolio committee. Why this time there was no rating?
Okay, Mr. Chauke.
I would love to raise my hand, but nonetheless, I can speak. This process is very engaging. Normally, it becomes a process that you brief the committee separately with the before, not even with the board and the department. You always have the session that you take through the committee and are able to flag issues that need attention. This process, why is it an open process that we are with the water board and everybody is here? And, I don't know. Have we broken that principle? I just want to understand, maybe, Chair, because sometimes I become worried that we engage you as an entity in front of the board and all of that. And by the time we get to the questions and all of that, we flat.
Mr. Mguni?
Thank you, Mani. You indicated...
You can speak to the mic.
Oh. If I heard you well, you indicated that if a project has been given to a water board as an implementing agent, and it's found that there are irregularities, no special fruitless and irregular expenditure, that has happened in that board, that is taken to the department. No longer, what happens to the water board itself? Because it might be the one that has done by the department. That's number one. Number two, when a project is a three-year project, it stretches for 3 years, then on the first year, it happens that there has been an irregular expenditure, or rather fruitless expenditure. Does that mean that for the period of 3 years before the project is finalized, even if the second and the third year, there's no fruitless or irregular expenditure, that one that happened in the initial stage, the first year, will still be incurred, that it is fruitless? The fruitless, or it will just be for that particular time. Then when does this fruitless expenditure expire? Because I said, is it continuing? Every time it is continuing. But, in 2014, you had the fruitless expenditure. Thank you very much. And then this issue of coordination, the last one, the issue of coordination. Can you just tell us the steps? How is it that it has to be done for the coordination to take place?
Okay, those are the few, maybe just one quick one. You've always been raising an issue about the ministerial directives and the extent in which those are handled. You did say something, but just in passing. The main concern would have been about the onus insofar as responsibilities are taken by that implementing agent. And if you like, the open or blank check that you would typically be having in such directives. That has been one of your major concerns at some point. If you can comment on that. Maybe just a quick one on Mr. Chauke's concerns. We found ourselves in this situation. Ideally, that should have been a situation where we are all by ourselves even before. But the decision for us to engage with the AG came very late in preparing. As a result, we found ourselves in the situation wherein we even delayed with our earlier meeting. So that's the predicament in which we found ourselves. However, the issues are quite, you know, open, I must say. But ideally, we should have been with the AG's office as members of parliament alone. You know, it will improve. Yeah, improve. Yeah, so Sandy. It will improve, you know, when you have to write an exam at school, you get, you know, what we call it, that pre, whatever you call it. Not an anxiety, you get a... Imbus. Yeah, you have an idea more or less. Okay, sorry.
Thanks.
You can.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. With regards to the writing on the portfolio committee, is why we haven't included it is because it's the first time we are actually now engaging the portfolio committee from the water board point of view. So we couldn't just, I mean, you're going to ask me how did I write you, and then I need to have some type of evidence. So we said going forward now, because of this engagement, and we're auditing the water board, it will probably be in then next year as well. With regards to the irregular expenditure, to answer your question, yes, because expenditure runs in sequence with where the expenditure. So because the expenditure is lying with the department, the irregular expenditure must then be also at the department. However, at the water board, you will have then your non-compliance findings. So if those non-compliance is material and there's others as well, then it will be included in the audit report as a non-compliance. But the irregular will be with the department. On your question on the years...
just before you move away on the question of the irregular as well, I think the second part of the Honourable Judy's question was, if you've reported irregular expenditure in the first year, will you then carry it forward to the other years as well? Irregular expenditure, unfortunately, is an instance. So if you award a contract, you should have complied when you are doing the awarding. So if there's an instance of non-compliance on the day that you award, even if it's a multi-year contract, then all payments linked to that contract will therefore be classified as irregular for as long as you keep continuing making payments linked to that contract. So if you irregular expenditure in the first year and you find that they didn't comply, if the contract is 5 years, for 5 years they must then carry on disclosing irregular expenditure until the contract ends. During the contract, management or leadership within the entity can go and apply for condonation. So then they must be able to demonstrate what went wrong, they've done an investigation, they've implemented remedial controls, they've taken the necessary steps or action, and then therefore it can be condoned. Once it's condoned, you don't condone the expenditure, you condone the action that resulted in the non-compliance. But because you condone the action, the similar principle will apply, then therefore all subsequent payments will not be classified as irregular.
Okay. Go ahead.
Thank you, Chair.
With the ministerial directive is this is a difficult one, but the department is at the end of the day still accountable for that project. They are just using the water boards as their agent. So to provide a blank check, you need to have a contract in place, there needs to be pricing, there needs to be everything in there to ensure that, obviously, first of all, your procurement was fair, equitable, transparent, and then obviously with your pricing as well, because you're going through a tender process, your pricing will then be also done through that. So to have an open blank check is not really the a good, what you call it.
Maybe you may want to that's why I wonder the session that did not involve implementers of policies. But what do you find in that point of ministerial, what do you call them, directives? In the because in the legislation they may be somehow limited. In the regulation, have you picked up what you think should be tightened up? Because the point that the chair is raising is informed by the current developments where water boards are given directives. There's no contract in between. They just will go implement this at the go. And that whole value of that directive is not being followed. Have you ever, as Auditor General, looked at that particular area? To an extent, that treasury, not even treasury, what's your position? What you feel outside your BG now? The
CFO.
The whole value chain of the department is involved in the process. For the purpose of accountability and ownership of that particular directive. Because what we find is only at the high level. Instruction is given, directive is given, but the value chain of the department is not informed in the process. What have you picked up as you audit water board? You will have come across some of these directives that you have picked up.
Okay, thank you. Honourable Chokri, what happened was, or what we've seen is, remember the Water Service Act have your Section 29 and your Section 30, so the directive is linked to Section 30. So then what normally happens is a funding agreement is then agreed between the implementing agent and the department. Now in that funding agreement then, it sets out how it should be dealt with. So what we found, for example, is there might be instances, or usually there's a paragraph saying that the department is still responsible for procurement. They must form part of the process of the supply chain in appointing them, for example, the contractors. What we found on the ground, and we are auditing that, is then to say, was a person part of the meetings from the department side? So was the involvement there also at the department? Because, as I indicated, they are still mainly responsible. So I hope I'm answering your question by saying that looking at the funding agreement, we do then look at some of those compliance and making sure that the department forms part of the whole process of the project. What we've also found in prior years is that the water boards then went and updated their policies on their supply chain to say, if they receive a directive from the department, it's an emergency. So what we found, because of all these irregular expenditures, the implementing agents thought they are following their processes, their policy, because it's safe. It's then an emergency. However, and I think the department can comment on this one, is they have now addressed that to say that the implementing agents should change their policy. They can't just go on a normal, just say it's an emergency. They need to follow normal procurement processes as well. So there was also sometimes a bit of a miscommunication between the policies. But we're auditing it, yeah.
My last one is, you have audited Lepelle.
Me personally?
No, I'm saying
yes.
You are aware that the investigations that are taking place at Lepelle. And those investigations are informed by directives. Are you going to take us in confidence at some point with your findings?
The business executive wants to answer.
I do not want to talk, but I'm provoked to speak because these questions are questions that we're going to raise them outside the panel itself.
No, thank you. Through you, Honourable Chair. I think Honourable Chauke, we've done the audit and we've picked up certain non-compliance. But remember, in as far as the PFM is concerned and the audit mandate, those findings informed that session we were having last year. I think it was 29 November when we briefed the portfolio committee around some of the projects, what we found on the ground, and those some of those findings also informed a lot of the irregular expenditure and the fruitless and wasteful expenditure which was reported at the department already. As with regard to what's actually happening in the Lepelle space, when we were doing the audit in the Lepelle space, we have also picked up the irregular expenditure, which is, I'm speaking under correction now, but also subject to the SIU investigation. So I think further to what we have already disclosed and reported, as picked up by the audit process, there isn't anything else, and from our point of view, it's for the investigative bodies now and agencies to take the matter further in terms of unearthing really deeper what's going on in the environment.
Question.
Yes.
I wanted to find out, in your report here, you indicate to us that when there's a directive from the department, a department must make sure there's an advance payment that is put to the implementing agent. And then in your case, when you do your audit, you find that there's been non-compliance by the implementing agent due to payments of contractors and the other thing. Whose responsibility is the one if the department did not make that advancement in time or did not comply themselves? And then they deem this implementing agents useless in terms of payment and the like.
Okay, thank you. Through you, Honourable Chair. It's a difficult question that you're asking me. With advances, you first need to first go back to the funding agreement, what was agreed between the implementing agent and the department on if there will be payments in advance. However, yeah, and Andre is coming.
Through you, Chair. If I can assist, I can share, for those of us who watch wrestling, John Cena will go do his job, and then when he jumps out, the other guy jumps in and they take him. So we all doing that as part of the team, so I hope you understand.
Yeah,
no,
but
that's
point of why is it that Andrew, every question that we ask is you, why is it depriving and not empowering AG colleagues that must give this authority? If you are not giving collateral, you will be authority.
Okay, because I'll ask him that question after.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah. I think the reason why I'm intervening, I think it's just the use of English. The member, according to what I can ascertain, is asking in terms of generally the funding, not about the actual advance. An advance is if a project is 100 rand, but before we start a project, I give you 20 rand in advance before you've done anything. But that project, the full project funding will still be 100 rand. So my argument, my understanding of the member's question is saying, if this project is 100 rand, and you've got an implementing agent and you've got the department, whose responsibility is it to make sure that the implementing agent gets paid on time so that the project can then be able to progress? And because it's an implementing agent, I'm only acting on behalf of the department. Therefore, it is the department's responsibility to make sure that there's adequate funding available at a given point in time to make sure that the project advances as and when required in terms of the SLA.
On the point that you have just made, the biggest problem faced by Water Board is that a directive is given and then money does not follow. Money remains with the department, and then the Water Board end up spending its own money because of its own timeline. The point I was making earlier was at the level of regulation that regulates that process of a directive, meaning that there's a weakness somewhere that One is that once you make that directive, hence the point I was raising earlier with the values within the department, confirm that the budget for that. The water board does not know that there's a budget. The water board has instructed the directive is at the highest level of the department. At the ministerial level, you comply. You must comply, the minister. I directive are given by the minister. Now the minister. I want this project. I'm trying to hammer into this the certain project and the number. I'm trying to figure out where is the weakness that protects the water board for it not to find itself in limbo where it has to pay invoices and there's no money. And the poor water board ends up being under investigation. And the poor CFO or the board itself is now charged with corruption and mismanagement through tears and wasteful expenditure. Where is the gap that needs to be filled? That's the point that I was trying to make earlier. In the auditing of the processes that leads to, you know, all these financial controls and management and direction, what is it that you think we must do to close that gap? I know that as a legislator, at this level, we'll have to deal with that part. But now you want more powers, by the way, now. You want to buy it now. Within your powers that you now want, what is it that the Auditor General may want to recommend must happen so that we don't expose water board to an extent that they find themselves bankrupt? They find them bankrupt as we speak now. I'm sorry to say it because I was not supposed to say it now. But this is what is happening. Because of the directive.
Maybe also what we might also wish to respond to as part of the package. We talk about emergency programs for your water as part of that directive. Typically, your water board, including the department itself, literally picks on what is referred to as the. Okay, let's get going. We don't have time, remember. The issue I'm raising in actually is that here is this directive. It talks to an emergency most of the time. Or the project that goes ahead midway, another contractor has to come in. And typically here you have a water board that just picks up from what is referred to the panel. Come, continue to. The job has to be done and it's an emergency, quote unquote. How do you deal with those situations? I'm raising this issue in the context of the point we are raising. Even if it's an emergency, it has to go through a normal procurement process. Anything that is to be done above 1 million rand, insofar as your PMFA is concerned, it has to be subjected to a normal bidding process. In other words, public bidding process. Now you have here projects that are worth tens and hundreds of millions that without getting into detail, that literally have to be handpicked, go, do. And there, clearly, you are dealing there with your friend in that process. Talking about closing of the gap,
there are a number of those gaps. This is also one of those gaps.
Okay, thank you to you, Honorable Chair. If I can respond to the act, if you look at Section 6, which is the directive, the Section 30 says the Water Board may perform an activity other than its primary activity, only if. So they need to make sure that they do comply with the next following four things. It is not likely to limit the Water Board's capacity to perform its primary activity. It's not likely to be to the financial purposes of itself, any water service institution, existing consumers and other users serviced by it within its service area. It's in accordance with the board's policy statement and it is provided for in a business plan. So technically speaking, if I look at the act, is before they should actually say they can do those directives, they need to make sure that they abide by those four
condition,
which is in the act.
In the audit process, that complies with the finding?
Yeah, let's just respond to the question straight. We don't have time.
Okay, Honorable Chauke, we didn't test for this, we said may. So when we test as a business plan, and as soon as the one party gives the other party and both parties accept, then we assume that it's management's responsibility that they've conducted the due diligence assessment in terms of the impact this agreement will have on them.
You assume.
Based on the evidence that they would give us through you, Chair, because the law says before I accept, I must do the following. So if they've accepted, then we test, they've conducted the assessment, no red flags were raised in terms of the work that we did from a management side in terms of the ministerial directive. The only water board where a directive was issued and it was not implemented as far as we are aware is the rainwater water board, where a material director was issued and they did not implement, stating the following reason, saying it was unclear what the scope was, it was unclear what the direction was, so therefore we are not implementing.
Okay. Thank you.
Emergency check.
Yeah.
What we've done is with this all.
Welcome, Mr. Minister. We know that as you come in, I don't know what you did to the lady. Yes, enough. Very happy to see.
I don't think it's about me. I'm sure.
Welcome, we did get your intro. Okay, it's fine. If you don't mind, let's also try and we are now 12:30.
Okay. Due to the risk that we've identified with a lot of these procurement that is indicated as an emergency and they're not following those processes, those tender processes, we went and we looked at all the acts applicable to that. So in short, what we've done, we've looked at National Treasury, we've looked at the Disaster Management Act, for example, and also the Constitution. At the end of the day, what the Disaster Act is actually implying is to say that an emergency should only be for a certain period of time. Then you can say that it's an emergency. And that emergency is usually 3 months. So what we have realized is that yes, you can have an emergency. And then based on that emergency, you can still deviate. But by deviating, you can still follow a fair and competitive process. So to explain, for example, if you have an emergency, you can shorten your tender times that you need to advertise. So yes, it's an emergency, but you are still tendering shorter period, so you can still demonstrate that there was a fair process conducted by appointing those contractors. Because remember, what we are saying is most of these infrastructure projects of the department is multi-year projects. Yes, there's an emergency, someone is not having water, but at the end of the day, this is a multi-year project. So somewhere there needs to be planning involved, there needs to be some type of process. So obviously then you can deviate by looking at a shorter period of tender or whatever the case, quotations, whatever the case might be.
Let me ask you a direct question. Here's the price that bursts. How do you respond?
A pipe that bursts could be an emergency. So now you're going to do it within a day or two and correct that pipe that bursts. So then it's an emergency. But if you build a pipeline from one dam to another dam, is it then an emergency?
Just say, for people recording, it's very important.
Yeah, all I'm trying to say is if a pipe bursts, then obviously there's an emergency, the pipe is bursting, you will correct that within a few days. But building a pipe from one dam to another, which is going to take you 3 years, cannot be an emergency.
Thank you, ma'am.
Okay.
Can I finish it? In your opinion, that what happened in Lepele, where the contract is now 4 years, whose fault is that? Is that the department's fault or is it Lepele's fault? Who's at default there?
Honorable Chairperson, through you, I think the question that's being asked is, we started off at a particular point, that's what we considered, there was an emergency, but based on what the evidence that we were able to inspect, the project then, there was scope creep. So it then evolved in terms of the scope of work that was done, the extent of work that was done, but still piggybacking on the fact that we're saying it was an emergency. So they were using the same reason for the initial deviation, then add projects on. So, therefore, our assessment is the work that's being done. I mean, Lepele is always acting as an implementing agent, implementing on behalf of the department. So our short and sweet answer is that the department is responsible for the delivery of that infrastructure and the budget, so therefore it cannot be. Why certain things are going wrong or not, maybe certain, there could be from a project management point of view. But in terms of, I instruct you to go and implement a certain thing, unless there's evidence that is presented where Lepele or the implementing agent for that matter comes and says, I've done additional work without clear instruction from my principal department.
Are you done with all your responses? Okay, thanks. Dealing with a matter that was. Can we have one meeting if you don't mind, all of us? Thank you. You want to conclude? Okay.
Thank you, Chair. I think maybe I must let you go fly, but I'll answer this question. Honorable Choker asked the question, which was partly answered, as to why we didn't do the early engagement. I'd like to apologize for that to the committee, because normally our process is that we start by having at least a meeting with the chairperson first. We did try and give the chairperson some form of context yesterday morning. We do acknowledge and appreciate the fact that it was late. So while we're tying up our processes and making sure of our quality assurance processes, we got the invite, and therefore we are here and honoring the invite. But we will certainly in future uphold the standing arrangement that we have, where we first come and have engagements with the committee in close session. Thank you, Chair. I must just note that.
Just for the last time, just ask you anything. But it's your general view on your engagement for the first time with Water Board. Two questions obvious for me. What is your assessment with regard to risk? General, if you look at all the Water Board, the risk
committed within Water Board internal audit? Do you see that? I see you do raise a number of things, but what is the general view around these two areas of the five areas that are able to signal if there's going to be a problem and help again yourself as you move into the audit process? What is the general view around that in all water boards that you still have been done at this
meeting? Thank you, Honorable Chair. Honorable Chairperson, through you, I think we'll break the answer down in two parts. First one is the risk management process. So the risk management process are there to identify, help management identify and respond to risks. Internal audit will then come and make sure and use their risk assessment to inform their plans where they can go and audit those risky areas and provide assurance to management based on the work they would have done on the risky area. So from our general assessment, the internal audit, some of the entities, they were adding the required level of assurance because they've got the green rating in terms of the assessment on slide number 24. And some of them, we're saying they are there, they are functional, they are working, but it could be improved in terms of the work that they do to assist management in covering the risky areas. In as far as the risk committees are concerned, we normally try and cover the risk committees as part of management, because it's a management structure that's there to assist management. Generally, they also, like the internal audit function, some of them, you do get a sense that they are trying to identify the risk, but some of them, there could be improvement. So generally, there is some work to be done to cover the risk, but then we have to go back and say, what was the risk for the water board? The risk for the water board, and that's the reason why the Office of the AG took back the audit of the water board, was because we realized there's a lot of money that's now being pushed towards the water boards for implementation, which, if you recall, if my colleague did the slide in the intro, there was a circle that she did to say, this is the scope of water boards generally, now it's grown to a slightly bigger scope. So therefore, your risk will increase in terms of your capacity, your challenges, your project management, and even the funding arrangement, because now you must do the procurement there. So it has certainly increased, and there is room to improve because of the increased risk.
Okay.
I think we shall have to deal with the issues as and when we get the respective water forms coming through for their submission. There you shall be dealing with the details, the specifics. Thanks, and once again, we take a very keen interest on the processes we are involved in your amendment on your Public Body Act. I think you shall assist us going forward. We have a very small venue. It's up to you to remain and be squashed somewhat. In fact, it is in your interest that you are present, I would imagine. We have arranged lunch, but only for 1:30. Shall be served the finger lunch at the next door, of course, one of those rooms, 539. We shall allow ourselves time to allow to get the Pelle water board to come through, Deputy Minister.
The issues that have the challenges of all the most report. And I'm a bit out of chair at the moment because I found it in the middle of the meeting. But I know that I thought you would be giving me just a brief overview of what is happening in this meeting. I don't want to take the desk off because of the time check. But I do want to say thank you very much for giving me or accepting me even if I come this time, which is close to 1 o'clock. And I'll wait for you to just to give me or listen to what the report has been said.
Thanks for that, Mr. President. We are only now starting with a process.
Okay.
Wherein the water boards are going to come for us. What we just heard was the Office of the Auditor General that was giving us an overview of how this entity has been performing in the year in question, financial year in question. So that's what we have said now.
Okay.
So literally we are starting.
Oh,
and then we have 2 water boards today. And then we have another water board for next week. I must mention, members, that as per our own decision here, maybe just in passing, meeting on Fridays has become quite an impractical situation for ourselves. And accordingly, therefore, we have scheduled Tuesday and Wednesday, which is unfortunate. But again, this is our own decision that we took that we are better off to meet on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Because also Thursdays are a bit tricky because of the caucus and also plenary that takes place from time to time, which might force us to be meeting rather applying for those sittings of our committee meetings. So Tuesday would be Amatola and Bloom. Madia tells me that I remember seeing this program. I take it we all did receive copies of that. The point I'm raising is that we are meeting with these water boards and then the Office of the Auditor General is simply briefing us, giving us an overview of what is coming. And what is coming is what we are doing, what we are hearing. We have also impressed upon the new minister was going to be here as well. We have also extended an invitation to all the board members of the respective boards. And also, what we have done going forward, we have, as we write directly to the minister, we also have copied. The water board themselves. Why we do that is because of the confusion that we have had before, where they have written to the department and the message when it reaches the respective water board reaches them diluted, and the confusion that comes.
Because they don't have oversight on the water.
that's your call. Unfortunately, we were meant to have met at Kurok Chamber, but only on literally yesterday, around 3 yesterday, we were told that the venue is going to be used by the president. So that's how we got to find ourselves in this small venue. Mr. Shelford?
No, Chair, I was saying that maybe the ATVG might repeat how many people would be permitted. Because the reason that I'm saying is that the higher children of the department is very important, especially the program students, the cannot be only the ATVG. You have a trial child, a local reportable for water board, it's very important in that exercise. I was just saying that the CFO of the department must remain with me or she is here to start people that transfer money to and who are not paying water board their money. So it's important to say that that is guided.
Okay. DG, you are best suited to guide the process.
I'm going to release the DG corporate, but from what you say, from what the Honourable Member is saying.
I'm going to release the DG for corporate services, but from what the Honourable Member is saying, that the high echelon of the department must remain, then I won't release him. I can release maybe the CE of Overbeck, since we're not going to deal with issues of Overbeck. And
but just guide us who must be here, who must not be here, who is to contribute to this meeting, regardless of the higher economy.
Okay, I was going to leave the two CFOs and the DDG for regulations.
That's fine. I would imagine your infrastructure, because some of the issues that got
the infrastructure just can remain, yes.
Okay, thanks for that. Let's get going, if you don't mind. We don't have the time. Okay. 50 minutes, are you okay now?
I can go ahead and move on before you come.
Okay, no, that's fine. Can we then go ahead? Those that are supposed to be here are here, and those that are not supposed to be here are not here. You know, you all know yourself. And I'm sure you can do that without any communication or opening any mouth. Shortly.
Thank you.
Just introduce yourself and the team, and then go straight to the issue for some time.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I would like to greet the minister, the honourable deputy minister, the chairperson of the committee, the members of portfolio committee, the representatives from the NG, as well as everyone in the room. As we will be delivering our report, I will ask, I'll hand over this process to our chief executive officer. And in attendance, we have all our board members represented today. It's only our chairperson who's absent, as we stated, as the chairperson stated. Thank you.
Who are the board members?
Sorry. I'm Masebe Pasha. I'm the deputy chairperson as well as the chairperson of Risk and Audit Committee. We have Mr. Masebe is also is a board member. We have Mayor Letswalo is a board member. We have Mayor Saba, she's a board member. We have Mebaloi is Patele, she's a board member. We have Mwesongwa, she's a board member. We also have our CFO. We also have Memalamba, chairperson of HHR and RIMCO. Adesebola, board member. And Rachel, the secretary. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Honorable Chair, the Honorable Deputy Minister. They also have me, the Chief Executive of Lebel I'm going to take you through our presentation. It is categorized into two, as per the instruction we received with regard to the format of the report. The first part is the overview of financial performance. And on this one, I'm going to take the committee through the financial performance for the year 2016-17 or the financial year ending 31st June 2017. We made a contrast, Chairperson. Our performance for the financial year 2015-16 and 2016-17 so that the committee can appreciate where we are faring well and where we are having some challenges. In 2015-16, the revenue generated out of our primary activities, which is the core mandate of the Water Board in terms of the Water Services Act, we were sitting at 459 million. And in 2017, we jumped or increased to 474 million. Of greater interest to the committee, I think, will be the bottom line, the surplus deficit from the operating activities. In 2015-16, we were sitting at 112, and then we decreased to 39 million in 2016-17. The reasons accounting for the decrease, Chair, are as follows. In 2015-16, we haven't made a provision for the bad debt, unlike in the current year in question. And the other thing, the revenue generated out of the secondary activities had decreased by 23%, because we are scaling down on a number of the projects we are carrying out on behalf of the department and the municipality. The next slide on page 5 is the financial statement for the statement of financial position for the year ending 31st June 2017. Assuming that the report is read, I'm going to draw your attention directly to our performance in relation to the net assets, the last line there. In 2016, we were sitting at 1.3 billion. This is the total worth of the organization, the asset base, the entire asset base. And then in 2017, we increased to 1.7, almost 1.8 billion. The next slide on page 6 is talking to the finance ratios. We dropped from 47% to 44% in 2017. And this decrease, Chair, the grant that, or the reason that accounts for it is the increase in the cost of sales. We have experienced a serious drought during the year in question, and
the cost of treating our water had gone up, because in most of the scheme we were literally treating the mud. So as a result, the amount of money we had to incur for the chemical cost had gone up. Of greater interest, following the point that members have been discussing while the AG was still presenting, is our liquidity ratio. It doesn't look very well. And the reason, therefore, Chair, is because of the number of debtors that are owing us. In the main, it was the municipalities, and currently we have got the department coming into the equation. The next slide on page 7, we are indicating expenditure outcome as at 31st June 2017, obviously. We have got the administration budget of 536, and the expenditure was sitting at 506. There is 9% variance there. And what accounts for the variance, Chair, is the cost-saving measures that we have put in place as an organization. And we are also giving or showing an analysis of the current payments contracting, the compensation to employees against the overall operational expenditure. The compensation for employees was sitting at 35%, which is within the norm, and for other goods and services is 65%. The next slide on page 8, we haven't had any unauthorized expenditure during the year in question. Unauthorized expenditure in terms of the PFMA is any expenditure incurred for the mandate for which you are not mandated in terms of the law to carry out. On irregular expenditure, we have had an instances of irregular expenditure as raised by the AG already. In total, it's to the tune of 8.9 million. Of greater interest to this committee will be what are we doing to cure this irregularity. There is currently a process where we are finalizing some investigation against the employees who are responsible for this irregularity. Number two, we have had an interaction with the National Treasury. They helped us to conduct a training on how best should we perform our responsibilities in relation to supply chain management processes. And then the third one, which is a given, is mandatory. We are preparing submissions to make sure that the competent governance structures can help us to condone these irregular expenditures. This relates to extension of the contract that had expired, non-compliance with regard to the panel selection criteria, and the deviation which was not in line with the Treasury guidelines raised by the AG, as well as the local content Treasury procurement requirements. On the following slide, we are indicating where we are sitting in relation to fruitless and wasteful expenditure. In 2015-16, we were at 36,000. 16-17, we are at 383. The reasons that account for this fruitless and wasteful expenditure, Chair, are as follows. We have incurred interest for the municipal services, in respect of which we have got property in a number of municipalities in Limpopo provinces, in Limpopo province, and also the fact that we incurred some interest for delayed payment to SARS. So this fruitless and wasteful does not necessarily point to a situation where money has just disappeared from the balance account. And connecting this to the liquidity position of the organization, we are not in a position to pay our creditors on time. As a result, there is always an interest that they charge us. Because for every debt that we owe, if we are to pay everyone the amount that is due, we may not be able to survive as an organization. So the more delay we cause in effecting payments, the more the interest we incur. The commitment analysis
during 2015-16, the commitment for infrastructure were sitting at 216, and then in 2017 we scaled down to 183. This talks to our multi-year infrastructure project. On the next slide, we are taking the committee through the accruals that we have within the organization. In the main, this is talking to the invoices that we accrued from the last financial year. And we are sitting at 14.8 million, apportioned between goods and services and capital assets, 4 and 10 million respectively. The contingent liability and assets, we are sitting at 8.7. There are two cases in respect of which we are the plaintiff. The other one we are claiming 3.5, whilst the other is 2.7 million. On the next slide, we are giving an analysis in relation to the external audit outcome for the past 5 years. Since 2012-13 to 2015-16, we have been receiving unqualified audit, with one matter of emphasis being non-compliant with the PFMA, talking specifically to the collection of debt from the municipality. In 2016-17, we obtained qualified audit opinion, and the reasons therefore are in the main the same old issue of debt recovery, and in this case there is a new one. We couldn't componentize a significant part of the infrastructure, and as a result the AG gave us a qualified audit opinion. Again, of interest to the committee would be what are we doing to make sure that we restore the status. We have, upon the AG tabling her opinion, immediately came up with the audit response plan. We are implementing it. We are again in constant discussion with the AG to make sure that around April, May, he or she can come back and perform what we call an interim audit, just to assess our mid-year performance so far, so that we can be able to appreciate what would be the thorny issue when he or she comes back around August. We've also increased the capacity of our internal audit unit to make sure that they sufficiently raise the red flag in relation to all the areas that the AG may raise concerns around when she will be auditing us. The next slide, I'm going to skip, Chairperson, because I've already spoken to them. I'll take you straight to page 18. We are summarizing the action plans in response to the AG's findings in detail. The first one in relation to non-compartmentalization of the assets, the unbundling exercise. I've already indicated the service provider is appointed and would expect him to complete this work by the end of April 2017. Hence our determination that the AG may have to come into the space and help us appreciate the extent to which we are failing in relation to all the plans that we're putting into place to make sure that we restore our unqualified audit status. And I wouldn't touch on all other items here because I assume they are red. The next slide is the overview of our non-financial performance. We have regressed from 79% in 2015-16 to 55%. Out of the five key strategic objectives that we have, Chair, the top three, which is the infrastructure expansion, operations and maintenance, and financial viability, we couldn't fare well, and the reason therefore is the liquidity or the cash flow status that we're experiencing within the organization. It has drastically limited our capacity to expand the infrastructure and do our operations and maintenance work. Well.
The next slide on page 20, we are giving the explanatory notes in relation to the performance milestones which could not be achieved, as well as the reasons and the remedial action. I don't think I have to read them out one by one to the committee. Now we have added a slide as per the instruction on the bulk water tariffs for the 2017-18. The increase that we have proposed and it was approved is only 8.5% check. This is purely cost reflective. It has taken into account the fact that we are existing within a rural province serving a predominantly rural municipalities that are battling to collect revenue from their clientele. There's no way where we are on double digit. In fact, on some of our schemes, we wouldn't be performing very well in the understanding that we have others cross-subsidizing the ones in respect of which we haven't charged a higher tariff. The next slide is a list of projects that we are carrying out as Lepelle. In total, there are 12, including the project we are running on behalf of the department, which is Diani. I must indicate, Chair, the performance overall, we are sitting at 91%. We are anticipating to complete this project for the phase that we instructed to implement by June 2018. If it was not for the delay, given a number of factors, we would have completed this by last year. The very latest that I may perhaps bring to the attention of the committee, just as I walked into this building, I received a message from the Water Forum in the area. They are planning a march demanding that this project must not stop. It has to proceed to phase two. I hear. That is the community message that I received, that this project must proceed to phase two. And what we are indicating as the implementing agent is that we are scaling down in respect of the first directive that we have received, which has in detail spelled out the contours, limits and parameters within which we have to perform the work. Every aspect of the work or the milestone we are reporting on in respect of this project flows directly from the instructions through the directive that we have received from the department. And the comfort we are giving this committee is that we did our part. We are sitting at 91%. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Minister. Do you want to add anything? Or fine?
I'm fine. I think I'll listen to the questions and
okay, that should be the report of Lepelle. Any questions, comments? Mr. Makonda, noted, Mr. Poson, and Mr. Nguna.
Thank you, Chair. I've got just few. And I'm going to be very quick. The first one is in relation to debtor days. I think it's growing in a, it's growing very fast. I think last time they were at 331 or 32. Now they are at 661. That is too much for a small, I mean, a very little water board like this one. The other issue relates to, I think he has responded to it on his presentation, the findings of the AG, what steps, the steps that they're supposed to do to ensure that they don't find themselves next time. The other issue, it relates to the directives. These directives. I think it has affected their performance. Because I don't think the directives do appear on their business plan. I just want to understand to what extent that is done that. But the other question that I have, the AG was here, they explained to us that Randwater couldn't implement ministerial directives because they were not clear and so forth. What informs them? What informs them to agree to take those directives and later then find themselves in a situation where their liquidity status is so bad? What informs them? The issue of the Gyan project chair is a problem. It's a problem because the completion date is always changing. Last time when we were at the oversight, we were told that the project is going to be completed this February. And this June thing, you know, even last year we were told that the department is writing a closed-out report, they are finishing. What actually is the problem with regard to that project? These things, but it's fine, it's like one go high, but what
extra? More high, more.
Yeah.
more high.
No, it's fine, just
no, more high, more. No.
Well, thank you, Mr. Basa. Mr. Mgune?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I must start by saying my disappointment. You know, when you regress from, you know, for the past 3-4 years, you have been kept getting unqualified reports. Then for now, 2016-17, you get a qualified report, whatever the condition might be. But to any person who looks at the report or the institution, may feel that, no, we are going down. While we're going down, hence we might be knowing what are the problems that are coming with that qualified report. You indicated the issue of a plan to deal with the findings, the irregular expenditure, and the extension of the expiration date without cause. And then you indicated that there are those officials that will be held responsible, which is a very good thing. I think when you spoke with the Auditor General, no, you have to hold people accountable for their actions, which is a good management skill. The issue here is time frames. When can we be looking at that so that you can monitor that indeed you have done your job as SMS management? The other issue, you indicate that this fruitless expenditure, is it because of the Department of Water and Sanitation? What impact did it do to you for advanced payment? According to the AG, you said that when there are directives from the department must do advanced payment.
and help the implementing agent to do. And you are also indicating there's a problem of in that nature. What negative impact did it have to you, and how far is it now, and how far will it take you? Because you might find that you are already bankrupt. You are already bankrupt now. You cannot manage your own finances through what the department has to support you with. In the report of the AG, they say, in terms of internal control and impact to role players, you seem not to have assurance. You seem not to have assurance, contrary to other water boards. The others were saying, no, we are. They have a little bit of assurance, but you don't have assurance. What are you saying to us as the portfolio committee? What assurance do you give to us on this issue of senior management to hold people accountable and the other stuff? And that. Then lastly, there's the issue of asset register control. And you also mentioned that on the qualification that no, you were requested to componentize. Is it the right word? Componentize, to put things into components. Mm-hmm. You know, as a teacher, you must break their word if you feel it's very, very difficult for you.
Yes,
so, if you can explain that to us, what did you mean by that, if the AG did indicate that? Thank you very much.
Okay, Mr. Chauke.
Yeah, no, Chair, the yep, one or two points, Chair. The fact that you've invited the board, who is the accounting authority with us, there are four or five points that you may want, Chair, that the board should, in fact, I'll take it that members of the board that are here are not only here to listen to that presentation, it represents them, but they need to be engaged. There are political issues that the board should definitely respond on. They are politically appointed, so they need to respond on political on a number of things. One of those things that we want to hear from the board chair, and I can see the status of the board even in their report. They attend meetings, they get stipends, they are happy. But there's a problem with the entity itself. The entity is going down. And the reason that it's going down, Chair, is that you have Manfred is not paying the pendler. They are owing a lot of money. And I'll take it that the board did have a reflection on that. And I'll be happy to hear them talking about that. The department is owing the peddler, it's not paying the peddler what it's supposed to pay them. They are owing them more than either 300 million or whatever. I will take it that the board has reflected on that, and the board will have to comment on that particular thing. The peddler is not able to pay his own debt. Either in time or not able to pay because there's no money. I would be happy, Chair, to hear a comment from the board on that. But not only that, get the department to speak on why they're not paying the penalty. They must talk about that because what you're dealing with, Chair, you're dealing with the, what do you call that money? The directive that has been given to Lepelle by the department, and the department is now staying very far from dealing with their own responsibilities now. The CEO, not long ago, we have just made a comment around the protest. It's a serious comment, Chair, by the way. We may take it live when we are here. And Honorable Makonde saying that we'll deal with it at home in Kiani. There's no other meeting of the portfolio committee in Kiani other than here. So, we want to deal with that issue here. What is the problem? And the department must be able to speak to us on the phase two of the project. This chair is informed by the last oversight we've done
when we were in that particular area. And we were promised, as Honorable Makonde put it, that the implementing of the project, the timelines are very clear, everything is in order. By this time, we're supposed to be celebrating people having water. And we know for a fact that there's no recirculation in that area. But I want the board to talk about what they know about the investigation, another investigation by the SIU. And you know, you're not going to come here and leave without telling us anything. What is being investigated? What is your take? What is it that you are doing with regard to these issues? So the issues of, you know, I see it's not much money. Your footless wastefully do have the audit action plan in place. I'm fine with that. I'm happy with that. You're very stable. But we're working on a clean audit. That's where we're going. That's what we want to see at the end of the day. So the point of yours is that as directed by PFMA on footless and wasteful expenditure, you don't deal with it in a particular way, but PFMA tells you what you must do. Either it's late payment to SARS, it's late payment to your services. Someone will have to investigate why. And that why part of yours becomes part of your action plan. For me, Chair, is that the Pelle is in the red. There are challenges there, and a very serious challenges, because of the directives that we have been given by the department. And the authority must speak around these issues. If the board cannot speak on these issues, no one else can speak on these issues. And the department must be able to give assurance, because this is what they said they will do. Now, earlier when we were dealing with the AG chair, and the privilege of the panel and other board with regard to this directive, the board must be able to reflect well. What is your view on this emergency storage that you're dealing with? I think in line with what the AG has just said about the directive in your area of operation. Now that it's been clarified, what is your view? I'm saying this, Chair, because we have met with the SIU, by the way. I'm not creating my own terms here. We met SIU. Mm-hmm. And part of what this committee is going to be doing, this committee is going to be doing an inquiry into this Department of Water and Sanitation. Those are public knowledge things that are there. So it's important so that we begin to look at all of these issues, but to assess the authority. Is the authority in charge? The board, are you in charge of this entity as it collapsed in front of you? I think we are all here, we have a first class ticket today to come to Parliament, we're going to have lunch soon, and then we're going to be flying back either tomorrow or after 3 days and all of that. But are you in charge of the entity? Those are my points, Chair. Thank you.
Mr. Basson.
Thank you, Chairperson. Sir, on page 4 of your presentation, you mentioned that you had a drought in this financial year, and the main reason why your surplus has dropped is your chemicals that you had to use. Can you recall that? You said that. Now, that's only 23% of the 72 million that you've lost in income or on surplus. Can you please explain to me your depreciation? Because I see the previous year there was a minus 20 million and now it's 29 million. Can you explain that to us, please?
Okay, I was raising a question earlier in my own mind, trying to understand the role of a water board versus the that of the department, especially the construction unit. What is the role? I'm just imagining here you were to take away those directives. What would you be left with? The last point, Deputy Minister, I'm just wondering as to whether shall we reach a point where your water boards are not involved in such deviations and irregular spend. And this issue is raised in the context of your emergencies and deviating away from your normal procurement process that talks to going out in a public bidding process. The challenge I have on the earlier point is that we find ourselves in a situation where we have to deal with when talking to water boards, we have to deal with projects all the time. Yes, you are involved in the process of selling water to municipalities, but whether or not that is happening, because for me that is almost the crux of the issue insofar as delivering of this very important service, which is a right, a constitutional right for everyone to get. That's the issue that really is bothering me about the role of a water board. Linked to that are your directives that talk to deviation from your normal procurement process, precisely because you have to talk about emergency projects. And they are now clearly defined, those emergency projects, as to what is it that is entailed in what is referred to as an emergency. Here, you're talking of 3 months, so we also take an interest AG's office as to whether that is part of any regulation of any specific legislation, if you can be referred to such as well, so that we don't just talk about, you know, the AG said we have to refer to any specific regulation of any specific legislation. Thanks.
Chair, the Water Act Section 30, which the AG made mention of, something that we'll have to look at maybe not later, with the point that you have just raised. What is it that we can do to make sure that the thing does not get there? I think that's the point that we should not be just a committee and then go back and look at the decision as lawmakers to say what is it that we can have to either amend or look at the regulation to the extent of the order we need to take. But not only that, Chair, what will be important again will be to hear from the other board and the board itself what are the plans moving forward. We are a water scarce country, and we have this water board that supply bulk generally. What are the plans, in fact, of securing and making sure that we meet this obligation moving forward? I think what is very important at the end of the day, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, several questions asked by the honourable members. The first one that says what informed the board to take directives, I think, and the other question around the completion of the Giani, I thought the CEO will speak on the causes of the delays. Of you just said no, the delay now. I mean, the annual will be completed at such another date. You didn't give the reasons of the change of dates, which I think I will need to get that from you. And the week taught me something in this committee, that you are not an accounting officer. All you do is to give directives. So my directive would be now saying to CEO, can you give us the reasons why there are delays around the completion of the Kiani, and also the question that was asked, which says, what informed you to take the directive? And then I think it will also assist us, Chair, the board, if they could just give us their perspective on the issue of also the role which was asked by the board, by the chair, the role of the board. And to my understanding, the role of the board chair, one of them is to make sure that they assist, and the reason why we have board in all provinces is to assist, especially us and the communities, and also and be like a watchdog.
The point of that you have asked, Chair, you need to hear the board speaking. Let's hear the board and its understanding of their mandate. Rather than having the deputy minister talking on their behalf, let them speak about themselves and what they understand their mandate is all about. That's how I understand the point that is raised by the chair. So I'm saying that so that for us to be able to use it to assess that you have a board that is there, that does oversight, that understands its mandate, it's important to hear from them. Minister, I think it's very, very important.
No, sir, you're right, but the chair asked me to say something, and I was saying the board will do that.
Okay.
So maybe I'm too slow to say so.
Yeah, no,
but I was not going to answer on their behalf. I was going to say they will answer for themselves. I'm sorry if I took time.
All right,
fine.
Sure. TJ, you fine? No, that's fine. Chair? Deputy Chair?
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you very much, and as per Mr. Chaudet's request, I think it's appropriate that we do interact with the committee and you know, tell as to what we are doing to resolve some of the things that are on our table. Having said that, I will ask the CE Chief Executive to respond on the technical questions. They will be filling him in as a board, and all of us as board members will just fill in as we move forward with the questions, the list of questions that are there. And I will take on the issue of the municipalities, furthermore on the department, and on the assurances raised by AG, and on the assets. I'll touch those points as part of the response to some of the questions that were raised. With regard to the municipalities, there is a movement that is taking place. Unfortunately, those movements are taking place now, and our reporting is based on historic. There are some payments that are coming through. Our CE and our chairperson have been going up and down, interacting together with the team at the building, interacting with the municipalities, signing agreements on the payment plans and so forth. This process has been ongoing, and we hope that the next time we come here, that would have improved, because we've seen that evidence that they are committed. It's just that they don't have funds to speed up the way we would like it to be in terms of their payment plan. On the issue of directives, just on Monday, as the chairperson of Audit and Risk Committee, we had a meeting with the DWS representatives, the chairperson of Audit Committee there on Monday, as the various boards. and the discussions that we had during that meeting, I'm sure some of the things that happened in the past should be able to be sorted out without delays as they happen. And as such, I think on that, I have a responsibility from my role as the chairperson of Risk and Audit Committee to continuously interact with the department around directives as to how we're going to solve them going forward. But the chairperson there was saying that we need to manage these directives because all the boards that were in attendance, they raised the issue of directives. And I'm sure the Honourable Minister, through the internal channels, you'll get some report from him. And we made a commitment again as the audit and risk audit to continuously meet to ensure that as these things happen, continuously as and collaboratively as multiple boards, we talk about them and say how best we make sure that this doesn't happen and is managed if it happens. It's managed and necessary steps to mitigate are taken. And Daden Gun here mentioned about referring to the AG letter, Auditor General letter, that on assurance, there was something that was raised about our assurance. Our team was not well capacitated. That's what was highlighted by AG. And we have since ensured that we capacitate our audit team. And the difference between previously and now is that the audit that was conducted by the previous auditors was not as depth as what we have now. And so a certain aspect of the audit which are more detailed, may trigger that need for us to make sure that we capacitate our structure. And as such, the certain things will be handled in accordance with how AG would like us reporting our reporting basically, and their findings should be able to be answered. And on componentizing of assets, this one it was also discussed as one of the things that is a pain for most of the water boards. It's a pain, but it's something that will be sorted out as time goes on. It's going to be something that we may carry, and I'm saying may because AG and they will, as part of the meeting that we had, we'll see how best to handle it. Because it will take a long time because of how they want this asset to be reported on. Now, this process may take as much as three years, and that's the time that we agreed with AG that we will do our best, but we will check it. They will check that we are making progress on it, and if we are not making progress that they expect, which will basically tend to 33% every year that we expected to make sure that at the end of 3 years, everything has been reported on. I would like to leave it here on issues that I want to address. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. I will try the best I can to go through the questions point by point, particularly those that the Chair has not touched on. The Honourable Makondo has raised a concern around the debtors' days having increased from 331 days. In fact, it has doubled, 331 to 661. This is true. We are in total owed 1.6 billion as the Water Board, both from the department and the municipality. The department is owing us not less than 600 million. 456 million of these 600 that we are owed by the department is for the money that we bridge funded for the project we are implementing on behalf of the department. And this is not necessarily the only project on Andoniche. Of all the 9 water boards that we have in the Republic, Libelle is the recipient of a huge number of directives for which there hasn't been money following the assignment. Now the situation that you would have, you would sit with the pressure to pay the creditors to a point where you're even taken to court. There was a question raised what are we doing to address the situation? We are interacting with those that are owing us, which is the municipalities, and I must indicate that we are faring very well in respect of the municipalities. Although they are struggling to pay, but at least there is something that they are bringing to the kitchen on a regular basis. We have been interacting with the department. The very last interaction we are going to have from today will be on the 1st of March to make sure that they pay us this 456 million. This is the money that belongs to us. It's not the money that we should receive and pay over to the service providers. Meaning once we receive this money, our liquidity status, Honorable Basson, will have to improve drastically. So that is the situation we are in. There was also a point raised as to why are we receiving and implementing the directives when the rent daughter has rejected, I'm not sure how many, but it could be one or two. In our case, the situation may be different. When we receive a directive, it spells out the mandate, what is supposed to be done, for how much, and some even indicate the time period. There isn't any reason for us to doubt on the face of the document that money will not follow the assignment. Until very recently, where we had to put brakes in respect of the Polokwane directive. But for all other directives that we have received, there wasn't any basis for us to doubt that money will not follow. Unlike in rent daughter, because I gather that the reason was that the directive was not clear as to the scope and other factors which then influenced rent daughter to put the brakes in relation to the implementation. And just from a HR point of view, there are 14 principles of fire, Honorable Basson. There is a chain of command. When you are given a written legal instruction, you can only defy it at your own peril, because that is insubordination. So directives have to be understood within that context. A written lawful instruction, premised or predicated on the basis of Section 45 of the Water Services Act. So in good faith, we receive and implement them in the understanding that money does follow or will follow. Before I could be in this space of implementing a number of directives, the cash status of the organization was at 300 million, just the cash reserve sitting in the bank. Currently, I'm reporting we are at less than...
If you receive a directive, whether it is illegal, you implement?
No. If it's illegal, I can't implement. What I'm saying, I'm giving the context within which the directives are given and the legal authority on the basis of which directives are issued out. They are issued out by the shareholder on the basis...
If you were to, as you continue, sorry about this, if you can also just answer one simple question as you continue, whether you have received illegal directives.
And the answer will be no. I have received the directives that have impaired the financial position of the organization moving forward. As at the time when we received this directive, there wasn't any pointer indicating to the fact that our financial position will be impaired. So on the delay in the, or the deferment of the completion date for the Guyane project, the delay was caused solely by the payments. We haven't been receiving the monies on time. There are instances where the service providers had to abandon the site because of the delayed payment. So whenever they bring or they come back, we have to revise the completion date because they can never be anyhow where one can expect them to, for lack of a better way, the kind of a miracle to keep up with the shortfall in terms of the period that would have been lost as a result of them leaving the site as a way of protesting for non-payment. We have also been to court in relation to this delayed payment for the Guyana project and the Nambuni. There was a point raised by the Honorable Mguni on the AG's opinion. We do have such a concern, Chair. That is the reason why we have immediately upon the AG tabling the audit opinion, developed a response plan. This plan we did with the help of the AG, and the team then located that it is sufficiently addressing their findings. If we are to implement it, there is no way we can remain the same. That is the situation we are currently in. Now, on the part of the remedial actions we are taking, the turnaround time we expect to complete by May 2018, this is in relation to making sure that those that are responsible for this flagrant violation of the regulations are taken to task for lack of a better way. Okay, thank you. There was another point raised on fruitless and wasteful expenditure. What impact did it have on the organization? This obviously flows to the fact that our cash flow situation is being negatively affected by the delays in payment, because I indicated that our fruitless and wasteful expenditure is not caused by any act of disappearance of money from our account, but the fact that, given our liquidity status, we are not in a position to sufficiently honor our obligations to the creditors on time and in full. Such a report is ready, Chair. We will willingly and gladly table it before the committee, because it is extremely difficult to pinpoint within the organization who must bear the responsibility when the cost thereof lies heavily or squarely from the external factors and entities. On the comport, let me just call it unbundling of the assets before I bite my tongue. This is the number one activity we are performing in relation to the report on the AG's response measures. I indicated in my presentation that we have appointed the service provider. We are closely monitoring him. We are expecting him to complete the work by the end of April. That is why we are confidently engaging the AG with a request that she must come back and determine the extent to which we are faring or not faring in relation to this crucial aspect, because it is the one that has almost solely or single-handedly cost us a qualification. On the point raised by the Honorable Chauke, the process by the communities, what I indicated, Chair, is authentic, is a written information. I think the department is in a better position to answer what then should become of the next phase of the project. We have done our part within the confines of the directive that we have received. As to what then lies the future of this project, the department will have to answer. But the protest is being organized by the community. They intend to march to the Premier's office. On the SIU investigation, what are we doing as an organization? The board is sufficiently impressed on this matter, Honorable Chair and members. Number one, the concern was...
I'm sensing that it's only going to be two people that are going to speak. I'm sensing that it's only both you and the deputy chair are going to speak.
No, other board members would want to impress.
Definitely so. Mm. So it seems we're taking everything and responding on everything that we have raised without giving them a chance. That's why we said they are here.
Okay.
As individual, as collective, they need to talk to us. It's very important, in fact, when we do oversight. Towards the hearing, board members attend and Okay.
Round up and then allow others to come through. Thank you.
Okay, can I request the CFO to take the question raised by the Honorable Basson, and then other board members will take the remaining the balance of the points raised.
You done? You done?
Yeah, given the guidance.
No, you done.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. There's no given. Okay, you want to come in?
Yes, Chair.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. I will come in and respond to the two questions. Right. Okay. Chairperson, I want to come in and respond to the two questions as raised. The question relating to regress into our gross profit margin, as well as the depreciation decreases. On the gross profit margin, Chairperson, I will only add to say that in the 2015-16 financial year, we had a recovery in terms of the doubtful debt. Chair, we had a recovery from the debt that were being owned by our clients, and in 2016-17, the situation changed when we had to provide for the doubtful debt, as well as the fact that because we have a decrease on our implementation of projects on behalf of WSA, as well as the Department of Water Affairs, that has thus caused us to have such a decrease. On our depreciation issue, Chairperson, what has happened is that we haven't had a decrease on our depreciation. Rather, in the line item within which the member has referred to, we have included depreciation plus provision for bad debt, and the effect was then a negative. But our depreciation hasn't decreased. We actually have moved from 14 million to 16 million in the current financial year.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, members of the committee. My name is Emin Patele, member of the board. I will attempt to answer the question regarding what our role is, what we see ourselves as a water services authority. As the board, we see that our role mainly is to give communities access to water, and we're doing that by providing bulk services to the municipalities. Hence, you know, in our report, most of our clients are the municipalities, which are actually maybe providing the water to the communities at large. So basically, in our role, we should also make sure that the institution is financially viable. Hence, you see in our documentation, there's a lot of issues about collection and the liquidity. It is our role to ensure that we collect to the best of our abilities. Hence, the deputy has already raised that there's various arrangements being made with various municipalities that are supposed to pay us on time, and also the liabilities that are coming from the department as well. So we're also trying to, on a continuous basis, have those arrangements to collect the money effectively. So by so doing, then the issues of providers who are making sure that our properties are safeguarded in terms of maintaining our plants, and most of the issues that's where the money is going. So I guess I don't know if there's also additional to the role, but I basically see that we should provide sustainable water to the communities at large. And looking at the future, we always discuss about Lepelele being a water utility in the sense that we want to be going to all to be a regional water service provider. So we're always having discussions about that, to say where the shortage, we want to also touch into those areas where we are not yet having jurisdiction. Thank you.
Chair, the Honourable Deputy Minister, the members who are present, my name is Harold Masipe, the board member. Chair, I would just like to
to touch on some of the issues raised. I agree with the Honourable Member Chauke that it is us as the board who must deal with these issues. We can't start to send them to the officials because the buck stops with us. If we are wrong, it is us who are wrong. So we must approach them head on so that there can be some sort of satisfaction from the committee that we are here for. We can't come here all the way. Even if, by the way, Honorable Chauke, we came by settlers, not the... we came by settlers. But at any rate, coming here, taking your time, means you should be able to hear from us. And that's what we intend to do. Chair, I'm just going to touch on some of the things. Let me start with the issue of the directives from the department. I'm now in my second stint as a board member. Even if this issue came in between the board that went and the board that is in now, but at any rate, all the directives that we have received before, they were similar in nature. They would say what you must do, commitment, payments will be made, and payments were made. Even if we could have spent X amount of money, we will get it, and we would even get our small percentage of doing the work as an agent of the department. But now, this time around, things went another way. And that is why, as a board, we are unable to now honor a similar directive, a lawful one, but we don't have funds to honor it, to save Polokwane. Because now, if we were now to go to Polokwane, what else do we have? We lost over 400 million of our own money. It's gone. But we hope, with the intervention of this committee and the commitment by the department, if these directives were not there, there was one question here. Chair, we will be the best or one of the best boards. Because we have cash. We have no problem. The people of Limpopo are happy. And we are even busy taking on one of the water schemes there because of how committed we are. But now this is a setback. Our eyes has been opened to say, lawful as it might be, that directive, look around and see what you have and what guarantee, what if it's not paid. They say in Sotho or in the Zwana Tebale, flower can go another way. Most of all, I gave them arena. Because we were made to believe everything is in order, it's business as usual, when things were not well from the side of the department. Otherwise, we would not be having this problem. We were sound. Our books were fine. Those other small things of the non-compliance with auditor's instructions, those, we have made it very clear at the board. The CE must deal with that. We can't have officials who do things that are not supposed to be done. They must know where they start and where they end. But that is now for the CE to deal with. Our collection, we had a bit of problem because most of or all of our municipalities are in the rural areas and they don't have money and they don't even have expertise. We have now resolved to help them to collect from their people. And while helping them, then we are able to pay ourselves. And so far we are doing well. We are able to see the debt coming down so that we also then have a bit of income. The investigation by the SIU, we welcome the chair. Because then it will then open up and put everything into perspective. A report has already been sent. And if there is a request for additional, we will do so. We do not have a problem. Our working order with our municipalities is perfect. And I'm talking in my capacity as the former director for Sangha Limpopo. We have a sound relationship. We work well with them. It's just that they do not have money to pay us, but things are now opening up. Even if they were not paying us on time, if it was not these directives by the department, we will not be here where we are. And we are appealing to this committee to say, please, where you can intervene, help us to get our money back. But we also, our eyes have been
while they've been always open, now they've been made wide open. If we receive a similar directive, we'll have to think twice and see what we have before we can implement. But that is where we are changed. Generally, we are a sound water board. I want to assure this committee, it's business as usual, we are going forward. We will go through this and we will then go forward. Thank you very much.
Are we done?
I'm done.
Oh yeah, sorry, madam.
Thank you, Chair. Good afternoon, members of the committee. I just want to raise
your name and your area.
My name is Langi Malamba. I'm the chairperson of Human Resources and Human Relations Committee. Chair, the dilemma that we always sit with is, you know, the people tasked with the oversight and political leadership of the water board is the relationship that we have with a shareholder, and also...
Did I hear you saying political leadership?
Look, at where we're sitting, we're not dealing with operations. We're dealing with, obviously, a lot of political issues. We have to interface with the Premier, we have to interface with all the different...
That's
departments.
Policy, not political. You're not political structure.
Well,
policy,
true, which is more operational, the administration deals with it. We're sitting there to give oversight in terms of all those issues which has a bearing on the ability for the water board to provide bath water and potable water to the people. Now, in the absence of political will to deal with the issues, for example, if we have to institute, you know, a clause within the regulations that mandates us to switch off the water because the municipality is not paying, it has political ramifications at the end, because once you close the water, you have a community that's saying either the vendor is closing down the water or government does not care. So with the directive, what we always question when we receive them is, what are the liabilities, what is the risk? And the fact that we accept them on the assumption that the emergency status of any directive that we receive has a contributing factor to key national priorities. So we really assume that responsibility, looking at the liabilities and looking at what is it that we can do in the best interest to support our key national priorities. So the risk that comes with it is something that we need to engage with the minister or the shareholder at any given time to pay. This is what you expect us to do, and in good faith we have basic resources to fulfill that mandate, but it is absolutely important that at any given point resources are pledged and committed for the entire lifespan of that project so that we can sustain it. Sometimes there are unforeseeable circumstances within a project. The CEOs alluded to the issue of payment. But at times it could just be you're looking superficially at having water from dam A to dam B. And when you're looking at it, you might think it's going to be a smooth laying the pipe and then the project is done. But you could hit a real rock face as you are digging. That would have an impact also on the outcome of the, you know, the date that is projected for the finish or the completion of the project. So nobody would anticipate some of those things, and it would definitely affect the end date, you know, which has been initially planned for. So we always question as a board, you know, how things are going. We don't just take it at face value when our administration is giving us reports. We are very much aware of, you know, the responsibility to collect, and we are also aware that we have to balance collecting our money, instituting Section 4 to close down, and also making sure that we don't put leadership in that particular province at risk, because when we do that, it has a backlash, political backlash, which you can't run away from. So, you know, we are very much aware that it is our mandate to hold our CE accountable so that he can also hold his team accountable. But our responsibility is also to just create that permissive environment for them to be able to do what they have to do. So where we are able to engage with leadership in the province to say, here is a serious issue, we do engage the chairperson together with the respective chairpersons of committees, would go sit with the Premier, engage with SAGA and so forth to make sure that we communicate proactively what could become a potential, you know, problem in the future. Thank you.
See, you like politics. You are a political You see, we need to nip this in the bud. Otherwise, you can easily get lost. As a board, you are not a political structure. You only do an oversight on policy issues. That does not make you a political structure. You must try by all means to get rid of that from your own vocabulary. Otherwise, you're going to find yourselves competing with other political structures very easily. Once the terminology and the language and the vocab gets into you all the time, political will, political that, and so on and so forth, and that you don't have. And here, as members of parliament, can easily engage you on that one. That's not your space, that's all I'm saying. It is our space. We having a challenge of time. We still have a few other questions that I would imagine would have thrown. For instance, from where I'm seated, I would easily have thrown three questions. But I don't think those are going to be attended to, given the fact that we still have to get Mahalis. There is lunch also that is served outside. For instance, one of the questions that I would have thrown are the number of litigations and the cost of such in the current year that you are dealing with. Whether this amalgamation or whatever you call it is not affecting your organization. And the last question that I love most, whether is there any wrongdoing that you have done? Those are the questions I would have raised. But because of time, I would imagine we will certainly take another 30 minutes in responding to those type of questions. Because on the last one, about any wrongdoing, I'm sure you would really have to be scratching your minds and your heads. And especially also on the litigation. Well, what I would propose to you two members, let us take a 15-minute break and grab something and then have a working lunch if you like. In other words, we're grabbing something and then coming back here, and then we shall continue with our meeting as we eat. If that is fine. Mr. Mkune?
I don't know, Chair. Looking at the time that we have now, it's almost past 2. And at 3, we have to be at the in the house at 3 o'clock. Is it possible that we can call the Mahadis board coming in here? And then one by one as members, we go and grab something while we are continuing here. It's my suggestion.
That's perfect.
It's supported.
Are you okay with that, Mr. Shalk, as well?
No.
You're not okay?
No.
Okay, what do you suggest?
Oh, no, the point is that we need to close the tent. And we need to close it proper because here's an issue that's put into the department. And the department must respond. They have been owed money, they are in a dire situation, the department is owing them. If we can close that part, Chair, then Mahalis can come in quickly, we can get it as fast as we can, but here is a board that is collapsing. That the department is owing money.
And the same issue, Mr. Basar?
Yeah.
Chairperson, what I would like to know is that you are making allegations that the department owes you money. What is the response from the department why they are not paying you? I want to hear that from the board before the department answers. Because surely you are in negotiations with the department if they owe you money and why they are not paying you. So let's get that from you.
It's straightforward.
Thank you. I'll start with the last question. In a series of interactions, there's always commitment, a commitment that money will follow, but to this day, it hasn't followed to a point where we are before this committee still crying. that we are not being paid. And it's not an allegation, Honorable Member, it's a fact. Our bills are telling it all that we are not being paid what is due to us. On the question of is there any wrongdoing that we have done, Chair, a quick answer is, to the best of our knowledge, no. Nothing wrong we have done. And the effect of the amalgamation, I gather that you refer to the realignment of water board. The only effect is that we need to now expand our services footprint to other areas within the Limpopo province, which we have not been covering. It would mean we need to be financially viable, Chair and Honorable Members, to make sure that we can get into that space, make sure that we inject capital to revitalize our infrastructure to perform optimally in the process of building a financially viable situation. So currently with the liquidity status that we are in, the effect will be such that it is difficult for us to make any impact if we are to immediately become the regional water utility with this debt sitting as it is or at most worsening. On the number of litigations, Chair, I'm going to request indulgence that you give us time. We'll respond in writing to provide these details and the cost.
Thank you. So you want to respond to that on the debt issue?
Yeah. No, Chair. Now, from where I'm sitting, I'll ask maybe the CFO to respond in terms of if she has received any invoices, but nothing has been escalated to the DG level or the accounting officer level.
CFO?
All I know is that we pay as we receive invoices.
Okay. All right. I think from down the value chain, what CFO is sitting with is a letter that was written to Lebel in 2016 October to say that there's 97 million worth of invoices. We can't validate the work. It's either because of the rate for the management fee, or the minute or site report. Or just to say, where's the appointment letter of either you as an IA or the PSPs for the contract? I think maybe what you can do is to, because like I'm saying, down the value chain where the CFO is sitting, we don't have invoices that they are referring to. So if you can get that, the full set of invoices and then invoices.
From DGCM, I am in receipt of an SMS sent to Awiwu indicating that to Awiwu, the Bellas GM, that I am waiting for invoice. It's
twice. Is that the name of a person?
Yes, that's the name.
Awiwu.
Yes.
It looks like you're saying Awiwu.
Oh, okay.
So requesting them to invoice me because I am underspending in my book. That was sent last week for Libalayo. And, yes, for Libalayo. For Kiani and for Mubane, I don't have any invoices. In fact, whenever they have their invoices for Kiani and Nandoni, the CEO would make sure that I get them on my table. So I'm not aware of any invoices. My desk, as we speak, with an exception of what I left, or what may have arrived after my departure in Kim. I actually even requested to be invoiced.
Thanks for that. Clearly, what you have in the department is a department that is very willing, as they are understanding. So you have a bilateral that must take place just immediately after this meeting, or even during the break. I see that. Okay.
Checking.
No, wait. See it.
The point is that you have the water board that comes and appears before you, before us, together with the department, led by the department. And the other board presents the case before us that we have been owed money. Is the director responsible for water board, or DDG responsible for water board? that sits in this meeting. You have a department that has given an instruction to a water board that is collapsing before them. And they are told in the meeting of parliament that, in fact, you don't get invoices. This is unfair, Chair. This is just unfair, and to extend that we then say that, oh, now the department is willing to pay them, go outside and sort it out. It cannot be. It cannot be. Here's the main seat of the space that is collapsing in front of us. The department fully aware that this entity is in a dire need for cash. And we come here, we are told that, in fact, there's so much money that is lying there. It's not fair. It's not fair, I'm saying it, and it's not fair.
Mr. Waterboss?
Chairperson, I can't understand. Well, a water board can come here and lie that we are owed this much. And a department come here telling us that, hey, we want to verify whether we have done. What were the instructions? I will request, if it's possible, that they CC that letter, they email that letter. Because according to them, this letter was sent last year. I think it was last year, if I heard them. They sent the same letter they sent last year. And then they CC us here through my dear. We have a copy, we see. And the department must do something on those things. And we even give them time frame, Chairperson. They cannot hide behind the this issue of we have to check whether they verify whether they have done the job. What do you do when you give instruction to do something? We cannot accept that. Thank you very much.
You see, the challenge, the issues are genuine, I must say. But also, to really find ourselves reduced to a point where we entertain administrative issues here, it's uncalled for. We cannot be discussing, you know, whether you have been paid and verifying and all of those, and the invoices have not arrived. We really do not deserve such an abuse. You are abusing us, department. DG, you must crack the whip. Here is your DDG responsible for regulation. Next to you. She's supposed to be the one giving us all these responses or answers. We don't deserve this. That's why I've literally just been short-circuiting everything. You know, members wanting to go on and on, cut them short. Even yourselves as officials from the department. Get your acts together. We don't deserve this. Let's follow the route proposed by Mr. Mguni. That by Tuesday of next week, we should get the trail of such correspondence. Have you agreed on that one, DJ? Are we fine with that? It's simple and straightforward. All what we are saying is that as part of our oversight, we just want to monitor whether this is happening or not. So that doesn't just get to be a bilateral that, you know, ends nowhere. We must just be finding ourselves in a situation where we receive some correspondence that begins to say at least there is some movement. Mr. Chauke is saying here is an entity, Sikwaza, it is collapsing in full view of all of us here. Okay, let's get all of those responses in writing as proposed by Mr. Mguni. I take it that we are fine with that response. By Tuesday next week, we should be getting such a feedback. Okay? Thank you. Thanks for that reminder, Mr. Chauk and Mr. Pason. As we conclude on this matter of of the panel. Obviously, there are a number of other questions that we will still have to receive, included also those that talk about litigation. We also would gladly receive that that feedback in writing by Tuesday of next week. Thank you. Let's, as Mr. Nguni proposed, I tell you that were accepted, or were accepting that. For Lipel, for purposes of us being cluttered here, if you so wish to allow Mahalis to come through and then we give them space. But let's, in the meantime, quietly in and out and have a working lunch. Mahalis?
What? Oh. No, they are going to pay you now. No, they are going to pay you.
Maybe let's just 5 minutes comfort break.
You know, it is like honor, this oral contract.
Yeah.
You put some money to the minimum 50,000.
Yeah.
Well, what did you say? Well,
but you know, they can put it. No, no, they want to pay.
Now, remember, we have to.
Marianne, let them go out. Marianne, can you let them walk up the rushing for the exit? Yeah.
Yeah. Can we go out?
This is also possible.
But you can.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah. Thank you. Oh, okay, no, go ahead. I'll look up.
There's a recorder here.
Oh, there's a recorder. It's not on.
We only have 5 minutes.
I'm the chair. Far left, Ms. Munewe, she's our board member. Khosi Suping is a board member as well. Ndate Sibanda, this way Sibanda, board member. Talita Zondi, board member. Ndate Mohapi, board member. C.E. Mkize. Nkunika, Nonsate, Kisi. My team. Farana Saluji and Mpotata, board member, yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Sorry, I'm missing somebody. She's our CFO, Matsidiso, yeah, finance manager, yes.
Yeah, because of time, I won't be introducing the report or the presentation to the chair and the committee. I will request you to go to zoom straight to it. Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah. Chair, our report is an improved report from the previous year. If you look when we were here last year, our sales were lower than what they are now. Our fruitless and wasteful expenditure the previous year was standing at 4,000. Rent is zero this year. Our health generally has improved dramatically. It does not mean there are not things that are not okay. Our performance generally is at around 95%. We've got quick slides which Mr. Mkize will take you through them. But we are proud to be here to present our latest annual report. For the 6th year in a row, we've got an unqualified audit report, and I must say, with no matters of emphasis as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Maybe if we can then look at the presentation that we circulated. The format that we followed was to look at our financial overview and the overview of the audit report and the overview of the non-financial performance, and this is all in line with the shareholder compact that we submitted to the department. I will just touch on slide 4. If you look at our revenue from water sales was 17% up. 515 compared to 429 million in 2016. Our surplus was 86% up from 50.9 million to 95.2 million. For me, it's almost 100% performance or increase. When you look at slide 5 on the statement of financial position, you can see that our assets grew by about 27% from 1.9 in 2016 to 2.66 billion in 2017, and the total assets grew by 25% from 2.3 to 3.1 billion. So this is showing that Makalis Water as an organization is growing, and it's growing at a faster rate. This is due to prudent implementation of the capital expenditure program that we started in 2013 as an organization. When you look at your financial performance, the next slide, only one ratio was not achieved, which is the average data days, which was 55 days instead of the 50 days. The reason is that we had municipalities that were struggling to pay Makalis Water for the services rendered, and also we had a challenge also with getting payment from the Department of Water and Sanitation for the project that we are implementing on the behalf of the department as an implementing agent. Apart from that, our financial ratios are showing that the organization is healthy. It is a growing concern. We are able to cover for all the. In fact, we are able to cover twice for our liability in terms of the liquidity, from the current ratio of 2:1. Irregular expenditure, we have seen a decrease from 63 million in the previous financial year to 41 million. Some of this irregular expenditure was uncovered when the Auditor General was doing the work, and then we were able to correct our annual financial statement accordingly. As a result, we were able to receive an unqualified audit with no matters of emphasis. There were findings in the supply chain process which we are currently dealing with as a executive, and the consequent management that we are implementing to those officials that we feel that they did not follow the due processes in terms of Public Finance Management Act. If you look at maybe part two, where we are looking at our non-financial performance, we had 32 indicators. Out of those key performance indicators, 28 were achieved. Only 4 key performance indicators were not achieved. The key to those that were not achieved, that we raised concern as a board, was the water sales, whereby we were 1.06% below budget. But what is good is that since 2015, Makalis Water has been able to break through the 81 billion liters per annum in water supply, and when you look at the current performance, we achieved 83 6.1 billion liters instead of the target, which was 84 billion kiloliters. We are putting collective measures to address this, and we can report to this forum that at this stage, as we are in quarter three, we seem to be performing above budget. It means that our collective measures that we have implemented are bearing fruit. When we come to present to this forum next year, we will be presenting much better results than what we are presenting here. Okay, the other indicator I've talked about was the debtors days. The other indicator was the issue of the signed memorandum of understanding with the municipalities. I can say that, Chair, this indicator, maybe we should have disregarded it, because it's not a smart indicator for us, in that there are no new rural municipalities in our area of supply where we don't have a supply agreement. So for us to be able to meet this indicator, it means that our area of supply should have been increased, and then we sign new contract with those municipalities where the area of supply has been increased. I think, Chair, for me, that is the gist of this presentation, taking cognizance of the time. Maybe I can touch quickly on tariff. We had prepared tariff in accordance with the principle of Makalish Water being a self-sustaining entity in terms of in terms of PFMA and in terms of the Schedule 3B of PFMA. We have also contacted with municipalities in accordance with the Municipal Finance Management Act requirements, and we have then factored in those the comments that were received during the consultation with the municipalities. Initially, Chair, we had proposed to have a scheme, a uniform tariff for Makalish Water as an organization for all water service authorities. But after consultation, there was a pushback from municipality in our FALCOP scheme, who felt that the increase would be too much, way above inflation, and they asked that we do a gradual increase to make our tariff uniform. So our tariff, as yet, we are still presenting them as scheme-based tariff. We have four schemes, FALCOP, Valmont, Cliff Drift, and our tariff on average is about, the increase is about 9% for those four schemes, which is below the increase that we had implemented in 2016-17, which was on average 12%. I think, Chair, I will then ask for the questions from the House. Thank you.
Sorry, you're not chairing the meeting. You can't say I'll wait for the questions. Chair, just
my apology.
Okay, just for the sake of time, you mentioned that I don't want to give the question to the speaker by the honorable members, when it was asked to the previous board. You raised that the department is owing you money. Have you submitted the invoices to them, or what are the reasons? What are they saying us, that is us ourselves, what are they saying to you about the money which is owed by us? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. We are engaging with the department at a regional level, with the acting regional health on monthly basis. The invoice has been submitted. The challenge is that some of the projects that were budgeted for, there seems to be not funds for carrying them on. So we are unable to honor the invoices that have been submitted. As at 31st of January, the department was owing Makalis was 108 million. That is a huge amount when you look at the size of the institution. Overall, including the municipality, Makalis Water is owed about 285 million, roughly, at the end of January this year.
Thank you very much. Okay, we are at this juncture confronted with a serious challenge of time.
Mm-hmm.
Comments? Questions? Mr.
Mbuni noted, Mr. Basan. Thank you very much, Mr. Basan. You know, after the deliberation earlier on this morning, I think I feel thrilled the way I've been looking at your reporting. The report of unqualified. You see, it has been consistent, which is we should applaud for that. And also, Chairperson, the issue of the department being a player in the payment issues. They are caught now. I don't know how when water boats are coming. We're going to get a lot of challenges. The department is playing a role in making sure that entities do not win, they fail. Because it's about payment, you have to pay them. I think if we can take the same line like we did with Lipele, that they see you give us a notification. That notification that you did the last one that you sent to the department, or you send it again and to us through the secretary to see, because now it looks like we're playing an administrative. Well, we don't have to do that. It's not our responsibility. You see, so if that can be done. You also indicated that there's irregular expenditure that was reported a previous year, but it was not condoned. If you just can give me just a bit of an explanation on that one. And lastly, comment this. You know, when there are irregular expenditure and we have identified who the culprits are, It's better and it's best that you take consequence management, because there's no use. You get the issue, you don't do anything. This thing will repeat itself. And you must understand now, the president has announced himself, we are going to arrest those people. These people must be arrested. But then on issue of following on that, on those irregular expenditure on the officials who did that, you must also put a timeline. When are you going to be dealing with those issues for our monitoring? Thank you very much.
Mr.
Wilson?
The Chairperson, yeah, for time constraints, I would also like to congratulate him with the report. Chairperson, the only problem that I have is and I'm you correct, we're going to get it with all nine water boards or eight boards. The money is in this hand, and this hand needs it, and it's not. It's one body, so you're gonna. It's like cutting off your arm because something is sore here. Chairperson, I request that we ask the acting DG to come next week with a report on all the water boards. Let the water boards tell you what they say they owe you, and you sort that out and come with a report next week. It's not our work to do that.
Okay. Any further comments? The issues are quite straightforward, Deputy Minister.
I also want to applaud the Makhalis for the good work they said to me. Thank you very much, all the members. I think you are right, Elon Person, by saying the FUTG must consolidate reports in terms of the payment or money owed by us in all boards, and that should be submitted next week. Otherwise, I have no comments. Thank you very much.
We done? Mm-hmm. Okay. That's the unfortunate part when you are to be the last. This time around, it's not last for the first. It's not. best for the last of the best. It's the other way around. Unfortunately, we have to conclude at this point for us to be able to make it through to the chamber. There are some declarations we have to make or present for the fourth quarter and the second and the first quarter. Deputy Minister, thanks for the time and also for the entities having made it. Once again, congratulations to Mahalis on the good work done. We certainly do have issues. We on our behalf, we equally extend our congratulations to the new minister.
Mm-hmm.
We so wish you pass through that message and await him with anxiety, given all the challenges we are confronted within the department. Mm-hmm. Members, the meeting is adjourned until we meet next week on Tuesday.